It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we're halfway through August, and the Cleveland Guardians are in first place in the American League Central Division. They lead the Minnesota Twins by 2.5 games after the Twins lost again Sunday in California. This is shaping up to be, over the last half of August and all of September, it's going to be an interesting race to the American League Central pennant.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. You know, they go 5-1 on this trip, and get their biggest lead of the season, like you said, at 2.5 games. But the Minnesota and the White Sox are both 2.5 back. And who do you fear the most, Joe? If you're the Guardians, the Twins or the White Sox?
Right now, I think it's the Twins, just because they've added enough pitching to be sort of dangerous there. Their bullpen is pretty good, and their lineup actually scares me a little bit more than Chicago's lineup now that the White Sox don't have Tim Anderson in there. I think there's a lot more reason to be sort of weary of Minnesota than Chicago, but both of them can do damage between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, Cleveland has a winning 6-5 against the Twins, 8-5 against the White Sox, but they also got some games left with Detroit and Kansas City. Detroit they're 8-7 and 6-4 against Kansas City. So, like we've said so many times before, the race is going to be decided in the division.
Yeah, remember what I said a while back? I said Kansas City would have a big say in Cleveland's sort of positioning in this chase for this division, and that's becoming true. The Kansas City, the 6 straight games against the Royals at the end of the season, but I think it's 9 out of their last couple dozen games against Kansas City. It's going to determine, and it's a team that they should be able to beat pretty easily, and it's really going to determine whether or not they are in position to win the division and make it to the playoffs. It seems kind of silly to say, but this Guardians team that doesn't hit a lot of home runs and doesn't hit for a lot of power. Yesterday, Amed Rosario comes out and swats a home run early off Kevin Gausman, and it sort of sparked the offense a little bit.
Yeah, they the leadoff home or the first inning home run, and then Joe, they basically ran Toronto out of their own ballpark. I mean, rarely do you see a contending team that rattled by speed. The Guardians stole 3 bases. They should have stole 4. Jose Ramirez came off the bag for a minute, for a second, and got tagged out. But, they broke up double plays. They beat out like 3 infield hits. They were just too fast for the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays could not contend with that. Plus, Shane Bieber pitched a great game. And, the combination was really kind of, it was surprising. They took 2 out of 3 for Toronto. And, payroll-wise and name-wise, you know, if you looked at both rosters, you'd say that the Blue Jays were the better team, but not this weekend at Rogers Center.
I'm still surprised. They're the fourth lowest payroll in baseball. I can't believe that there are three teams, you know, with lower payrolls than them. But you talked about the speed. You talked about it was throughout the entire series. It wasn't just Sunday that the Guardians looked like you know, team roadrunner. It was all weekend, all series against the Blue Jays. They looked like they were running the bases well and had it in their mind to take bases. You know, Andrés Giménez had most of the day off on Sunday, but he was in the thick of. I believe he took the team lead in steals over Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, you know, in Saturday's game, it was a 2-1 loss, but he reached base four times, stole a base, and made that great defensive play in the seventh inning. You know, behind first base. You know, they've got five guys with 10 or more steals, Joe. They really forced the issue. And it was really apparent Sunday that, you know, this is, you know, they're going to give catchers a lot of nightmares if the catcher isn't really, you know, proficient at controlling the running game.
And this is the way that Terry Francona likes to put games together and likes to put teams together, is having that speed at the top of the lineup, and he really has it with Kwan, Rosario, Ramirez, and somewhere in there you throw in Andrés Giménez.
And Straw, too.
And Miles Straw at the bottom of the lineup. Yeah, you can't forget about him, which I almost did. You've really got a team that runs, not just steals bases, but runs the base as well, goes first to third, goes second to home, and is really smart about it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, they had a stat in the Sunday game notes from Baseball Reference that showed that the Guardians went, you know, first to third on a single, you know, the second most among teams in the American League. Only the White Sox were better. And, you know, that's what Francona preached throughout spring training, first to third, you know, run the bases smart. They're like second in the American League in stolen bases. And, you know, he doesn't want them running recklessly. He wants that high percentage success rate. And, you know, you're right around 79-80% success rate in your steals. So, you know, they're really doing a good job. And, you know, with the starting pitching starting to come around, Joe, you know, every steal is going to be important. Every time they break up a double play, you know, run their way out of a double play, which they did two or three times yesterday, you know, that's key too.
Yeah, it's there are just those little things. And you talk about that, you know, legging out the back end of a double play. That sounds like Amed Rosario to me. When you speak like that, you're talking about Amed Rosario. You're talking about a guy at the top of the lineup who, even when he hits the ball on the ground, you're getting 100% effort out of him down the first baseline, and he's really hard to double up because of the way he runs. And Terry Francona really respects that, and he said as much last night in his postgame. Just the way that Amed Rosario plays the game and approaches the game in every aspect, not just running the bases, but defense as well. He's really got Tito's respect in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it starts with Rosario and Ramirez. They both run the bases hard. They both, you know, go 90 feet to first base. And he said, you know, if you think Rosario's fast, you should see him when I try to take him out of the lineup. He runs away from me. I can't catch him. So, you know, this is a guy that plays every day, and he's playing, you know, a premier position, you know, the key defensive position. And it amazes me, Joe, just to watch him day in and day out, the way he plays. And we've talked about it before, you know, his defense has improved. You know, he covers a lot of ground. He runs the bases. You know, he's among the American League leader in hits. You know, the guy never takes a break, man.
Yeah, he definitely is a force. And right now, he's one of the big reasons why the Guardians are in the position that they're in. We talked about Andrés Giménez, and you mentioned his defense there a minute ago. He's starting to generate some buzz as a Gold Glove candidate there at second base. I know Mike Sarbaugh, the third base coach who also coaches the infielders, has really thought, really since spring training, that Andrés Giménez could make a mark there at second base.
Yeah, that play, you know, Saturday in the seventh inning, that was a Robbie Alomar play to me. You know, that's the only other guy, second baseman I've seen that could make a play like that. You know, first he's got to go way behind toward the line, behind second base to get Espino's a single. And then Tapia is running all the way from second, and he's got to make – he twirls. He does the Omar Vizquel twirl and then throws it home, and it throws right on the line, and a great tag by Luke Maley. Maley was saying he was worried because he didn't exactly know where the throw was going to be because Jimenez was off balance, but he said he was perfect. It was a perfect throw.
Yeah, between that play and I believe the play that Zach Plesac made coming off the mound earlier in the season at home, where he sort of barehanded a ball and threw it and then ran off the field. I think those are two of the nicest sort of throws in that regard, where your momentum is carrying you away from the play and you throw to the base that you're throwing to, and it's on the money. And there's no better feeling than throwing a guy out at home like that. Andrés Giménez, again, showing, you know, why he's not just an all-star, but a gold glove candidate at the position.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he made another play in the second game in Detroit in the fifth inning when, you know, the double play was in order. But, you know, he went home and got a Shoup at the plate and to protect a 3-2 lead, and they end up winning the game 3-2.
Yeah,
that was in the fifth inning.
I mean, but you're talking about right there, those are two examples of defensive runs saved. I haven't looked at his totals lately, but he's got to be up there, not just in the American League at the position, but, you know, overall defensive runs saved, he's got to be up there as well. And we'll write a little bit about that this week and see how what other people think about his defense. Around the division, we mentioned the Twins lost 2 out of 3 in Anaheim. The White Sox swept Detroit. So now we're getting Detroit coming to Cleveland for a doubleheader on Monday, and then two more games before the end of the week here. What do you see in terms of the division now, the race shaping up as we move forward between those three teams?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, Detroit, you know, it's really kind of, you know, had a lot of injuries, but they played Cleveland very, very tough. Cleveland is 8-7 against Detroit. You know, Savali is coming back tonight in the first game of the doubleheader. He always pitched. I don't think he's ever lost against Detroit. He came back and pitched 3 perfect innings against them at Comerica Park on this last trip. Kind of ran into some trouble, gave up a couple runs in the fourth inning. But, you know, so he should be built up a little stronger. And then we're going to see another rookie, Joe, in the second game, Xavion Curry. You know, I think he's going to be the 14th rookie to make his debut for this team this year.
Yeah, Peyton Battenfield was on the roster in Canada because of James Karinchak not being able to travel due to vaccination status. But he didn't make his debut. Battenfield would have been the 14th Guardian to make his debut, but now that goes to Curry, who comes, you know, between Akron and Columbus this year, 19 starts. He's 8-4, you know, 3.48 ERA, really nice whip. I think his whip is 1.09. Curry's been a guy who he was the organization's minor league pitcher of the year a couple years back. He's a strong candidate and a guy that a lot of people are excited to see, you know, as somebody who could really be a piece for this rotation at some point.
Yeah, you know, seventh round pick out of Georgia Tech in 2019, had some shoulder issues, you know, in college, but that didn't stop Cleveland from drafting him. Was 3-1 with a 3.09 ERA at Columbus, and 5-3 with a 3.65 at Akron this season. So, you know, he sounds healthy. He's putting in some innings, and it's going to be fun to watch to see how he works here. Curveball changeup, He throws pretty hard. So it'll be fun to watch. I mean, I talked to him in spring training when I was out there during the lockout. He's a fun kid, a fun guy. I know he's excited, and he's really good. He's good buddies with Will Benson. They grew up together in the Atlanta area.
Well, that'll be a lot of fun then to see the two of them sort of play off of each other in the clubhouse, and you know that you're really starting to look at that clubhouse and all these guys who didn't open the season with the Guardians. You know, Nolan Jones, Tyler Freeman, Oscar Gonzalez. There's a lot of faces around that clubhouse who were in either Akron, Columbus, or still back in Arizona when the season started. And now they're, you know, pretty much stalwarts on this team.
Yeah, you know, that it is. You know, the fact that, you know, they're doing this, that they're having this run in the standings, that they're in first place, that they're playing so well, and they're doing it with so many young guys, you know, you just don't see that, Joe. And you wonder, is the other shoe going to drop or is it not? You know, I think the organization has done a great job, you know, mixing and matching the young kids with, you know, the few veterans on this team. And I think Francona has really done a nice job, you know, keeping things simple, not putting a lot of pressure on all these young players. And, you know, the big thing to me, Joe, is the pitching staff is starting to take off. The rotation, you know, since the last homestand, they in their last
7-1 in their last 8 games.
Yeah, and they got a 0.96 ERA, 6 earned runs in 56 innings. And, you know, they've only lost out of those 8 games, team-wise, they've only lost one of those games. So, you know, and they've all pitched at least into the sixth inning. Well, except for a Savali, they've all pitched into the sixth inning. It's been, you know, they're getting better at the right time.
Right, and the bullpen is benefiting from that. Tito had mentioned over the weekend how, you know, the reason they've been able to pull out a couple of those games where the bullpen had to be used a little bit more, the game where Savali, you know, went short. The reason they've been able to do that is because the starters have been doing their job and getting the ball, you know, later into games so that they could rest more and they're a little more fresh. Nobody's rested at this point in the season at all, but, you know, Cleveland's bullpen's thrown the fewest innings of any bullpen in the American League. So always good to see that, and always good to see the young pitching staff coming together the way that it has. All right, we head into this week at home. Austin Hedges said it best. He said they need loud. They need to hear the crowd. What do you think? It's Brown season, obviously. there's other distractions and people are going back to school, I guess, next week or this week or whenever. But can we expect maybe people to start to take notice of a team that's, you know, been in first place for almost a week now and start to show up at the park?
Yeah, you know, you would hope so, Joe. You know, they're coming from Toronto where they had 3 straight crowds of over 40,000. And I'm telling you, Joe, that place was electric. It was rocking. You know, the roof was open. It was beautiful weather. And you would like to see that kind of response in Cleveland. I don't know if it will be, but I think, you know, the fans that will come, they're going to see a pretty good product. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun homestand. And, hey, there's a lot to play for right now.
Yeah, starts today. 3 o'clock doubleheader, Aaron Savali on the mound, followed by Xavion Curry's major league debut. Hoynsie, we'll check in again tomorrow on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.